Hello, listeners. Welcome to our summer series spectacular. If you're fans of any of these podcasts, then you know we've been releasing some special episodes over on our Patreon. And unfortunately, we have not gotten the response that we had hoped. So we have discontinued our Patreons for now, but would like these episodes to be enjoyed by a larger audience. I want to start by apologizing to the people who did pay a few dollars to get these exclusive episodes when they were exclusive. Your generosity and support is still very appreciated, and hopefully in the future we will offer some more exclusive episodes over there and see if we can't get a few more supporters to join you over on that special feed. But until then, we're going to be releasing these special episodes right here, right now, and all summer long. On the Time Pop feed, we have some what we call time travel-ish movies. Things that are kind of, you know, maybe time-altering, mind-bending, reality-fuckery kinds of movies that I think you will enjoy on this main feed, even if they don't fall directly into our time travel purview. I may or may not have used that word properly. Whatever. For our Thank the Light audience, because there's only so much Wheel of Time content out there. Over there on the Patreon, we were experimenting with some other fantasy movies. So hopefully you're just a fan of Justin, Jeremy, and Desmond talking about stuff. So we're going to have some fantasy film discussions on the Thank the Light feed. And on the Movies R Us feed, apologies. We're going to take a little bit of a break from official Movies R Us releases just because we got really busy. You know, we knew this summer was going to be a little bit busy. We were doing our best to get caught up. And Desmond is moving. Justin is probably going to be moving. And Jeremy doesn't want to do the podcast by himself. So we're going to, again, hopefully you're just fans of us and what we talk about. And even if it is not an official toy-related product, hopefully you will enjoy us talking about some fantasy movies over there as well, just because our voices are beautiful. I hope you enjoy these special episodes. If you're only subscribing to Time Pop, why don't you subscribe to Movies R Us and or Thank the Light so you can get some other exclusive movie content. If you just like to hear us talking about films, it's going to be a great summer. We will definitely be back with new content. We have some very exciting things we're going to put into motion for Thank the Light. Movies R Us is just going to be back in full effect later this summer. We're liking what we're doing over there. We have a lot of fun movies to talk about. And if you're a Time Pop fan and you like listening to Scott and I just talk about weird, mind-bending movies, let us know at timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. If you're enjoying this, us expanding our definition of Time Pop movies, and we may put more of these types of movies on this feed in the future. If you're a Movies R Us fan, just let us know when we get back to our official Movies R Us. Let us know some movies you want us to move to the top of our list. That is moviesruspod@gmail.com. That is moviesruspod@gmail.com. And if you're a Thank the Light fan, Wheel of Time fan, as you know, the show is getting put off. So we're trying to figure out the best way to discuss the books. Again, we've got some exciting things that we're going to do there to try to hype up those book discussions as we wait for more Wheel of Time episodes to get back to Amazon Prime. And if you enjoy listening to us talk about fantasy movies, maybe we can squeeze one of these in here and there just to spice it up as we wait for Rafe Judikins to get those episodes out to us. And whatever feed you're listening to, send us a message. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, because these shows are nothing without you. So if, you know, we're not going to listen to all your suggestions, but if you want to sheepdog us in a direction that makes us more fun to listen to and maybe bring more people into the fold, we would love to hear from you. ThankTheLight@gmail.com, TimePopPod@gmail.com, MoviesRUsPod@gmail.com. That is movies, the letter R, us, pod@gmail.com. Enjoy.
How the fuck does Miles Morales not know what Comic-Con is?
Oh.
I mean, come on, people.
All right, there's our loophole. You did it. I didn't think there would be one, but you did it.
I found it.
Maybe in that universe it doesn't exist.
But he's an are? Like, do we find out? So, I mean, and this movie is crazy, but how basic this is compared to Across the Spider-Verse. Like,
whoa.
I mean, I don't know if you've seen Across the Spider-Verse recently, but I saw it kind of recently.
I only saw it once.
I watched it recently, and it blew my mind. And so watching this one, I was like, this is a really good movie. But wow, do they crank it up.
Yeah.
Because we don't even go to any other universes in this.
They show it.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's there. I thought we got a little bit more of a taste in it, but that's just me remembering Across the Spider-Verse and just the insanity that is. The beautiful insanity that is.
You got beautiful insanity.
I do. Thanks for noticing, Scott.
Yeah.
So hello. How do we start these podcasts, Scott?
Distorted reality.
Time Pop After Dark.
Time Pop. Welcome to Time Pop After Dark. What are you wearing today, Desmond?
I'm just nothing but a dickie. Just enough for it to look
that
like
could be interpreted so many weird ways.
Everyone out there, you decide where my dickie begins and where Scott's ascot ends.
Hey.
Patrons, thanks for patronizing me. I appreciate it.
You sound pretty patronizing right now.
I am humbled and patronized and welcome to this. Today we're talking about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, directed by here. I gotta hit an additional button to get to all the fucking directors. Directed by Bob Bob Persichetti, Peter Ramsey, and Rodney Rothman, the holy trilogy of the Spider-Man verse, starring, oh my God, I'm just going to murder some more. Shamik? Do you know how to say that? Have you heard anyone else say
I think it's, name? I'd say Shamik. That's what I'd go with.
Shamik Moore as Miles Morales. Jake Johnson as Peter B. Parker. Haley Stanfield as Gwen Stacy. Lily Tomlin is Aunt May. That is so wonderful. Zoe Kravitz, John Mulaney, Nicolas Cage, the beautiful Catherine Hahn, Liev Schreiber, Chris Pine. Oh my God. This is just, it just goes on and on. It's such a wonderful cast. Oscar Isaac, he's back. 2018, rated PG, 1 hour and 57 minutes, which I think I have to admit then, looking at that runtime.
Mine says 117. That's weird.
117?
That's what Wikipedia says.
Wow. They're way off.
Oh, yeah. I think they are off. I remember being almost 2 hours.
Oh, I know why my version was shorter. Because I watched it on Hulu, and they didn't cut anything out, but they did do the super fast credits.
Ah.
So that's why my version...
Those are long credits.
Yeah, and they hit the fast forward button. So good. I think... It's. I think I watched this recently. I can't believe
this film. This is such a good freaking film. This is like, you know, I don't like to use the word like perfect film for Back to the Future. I use it. This is like a perfect film. This is up there in the echelon for me. There are friends. I know people that like best Spider-Man film ever. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like arguable like one of the best superhero films. It is so fucking well done.
I will argue, the only reason I will argue is because I have more recognizable faces to go off of. The most recent live action Spider-Man. Just because, like I said, seeing Tobey Maguire and...
Yeah, I hear you.
And all of them. Like, I love all these characters. They're great. But, like, I don't know Steve Spider-Man lore that much. So there's just less of me to hold on. Like, this is such a great movie, but there's less touchstones for me to be like, oh, him. Oh, her.
I mean, I don't either. This was after I stopped collecting. You know, what I do recognize, I do know about Spider-Ham, Peter Parker Spider-Ham, which was a real thing.
Yeah, that is crazy.
I do know about that, but, like, The others I didn't know, but this film is so fucking creative. From the opening sequence, they start glitching out. The style, man, the animated style, the music, it's, oh God, it's so good. But it's so good, it makes me angry at something. It's so good, it makes me angry that I didn't do it. Not that I have any of the vision they have. It's like the fact how they envision it and made it happen. It's just, oh, it's so good.
There are way more ways to fuck this movie up than to make it. If this movie was kind of good, it would be forgivable, but it's so fucking good.
Being someone who's a lover of comics from a young age too, they really like, they even bring the style of that, like kind of like, what do you call it? Not dot matrix, but like the dotted style. When you zoom in, like the Lichtenstein paintings of like old comic books, they go into that. They bring in like the panels and the thought patterns and like, just really, they really get it. They really get it.
Was this movie originally released in 3D?
I don't think so. I don't remember. That's a good question.
Every once in a while, there's weird, like I just saw one. I have it on in the background as usual. Like there's like a hand in the foreground that has that green. And I don't know. Stylistically, I know they're using a lot of colors, but it has that like if I had my 3D glasses on, I feel like that hand would be coming out.
It is. You're right. It is.
It is? Okay.
I think I saw it in 3D. I believe I saw it like, man, I think I saw this in like 3D IMAX, and that's, man, you get a chance of that, you go treat yourself. This is a visual show. This is a visual orgasm. They said it was originally shot a 3D animated film, not 2D. The majority, it was created with 3D models and 3D software. Oh,
okay.
Wait, let me make sure. Can I watch it in 3D? Oh, no. It was shot 3D. All right, I'm doing research live. This is not a fun thing. Why don't you guys listen to me research stuff?
So speaking of me like holding on to stuff, so is Chris Pine Tobey Maguire?
What?
Chris Pine is our Tobey Maguire bat. Like they show him stopping the train like Tobey Maguire does.
Chris Pine?
Yeah, Chris Pine in this movie.
Chris Pine in this movie?
Yeah, you know he does a voice in this movie, right? You know he's Peter Parker, right?
No, whose voice is Chris Pine?
The first Peter Parker, the one that dies.
Oh, he was? Okay, cool.
Isn't it?
No, maybe you're right.
I'm terrible at this game, so...
Yeah, I don't know who that first voice was.
Yeah, Chris Pine.
Okay.
So that's Tobey Maguire, right?
Who's Tobey Maguire?
Chris Pine.
Oh, the cat. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Because they show him stopping...
Right, yeah. I would take it that way, yeah.
They show him doing the dance, they show him doing the...
He wasn't blonde, but yeah, I would take it that way.
But either way, like, they're playing it.
Yeah.
Like, he's our Tobey Maguire.
And they're ending that. That's not the real one.
And then is Peter B. Parker, is Jake Johnson, is that, what's his name?
I mean, they kind of changed that whole storyline with the newer one.
Did they change that one too much? Andrew Garfield.
That's more the tradish. Yeah, Spider-Man.
Okay.
Although it's still his, yeah.
Because it's his.
He's the traditional one in the comic book. He married MJ eventually.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then Tom Holland, I don't think is represented.
No, I don't think so.
In this one. And I know they're taking some liberties, but like,
yeah,
they really like with Chris Pine, like they totally went through the first three Spider-Man movies.
Oh yeah. They made fun of the dancing sequence, which is like hated. Yeah. And they even did the upside down kiss and all that.
I had someone explain that to me really well. He's like, Peter Parker is a fucking nerd.
Yeah.
So this is what he thinks cool is. And I was like, yeah, I guess so. Like, it's terrible.
Original Peter Parker was super nerdy, and they've had to cool him up a little bit over the years. And also, right, Aunt May used to be pretty helpless, like Alfred Pennyworth. And then over the years, they've had to change the line to make them a little more tough and not just have the frail old lady or the frail butler. Now, like, the new Alfred is like a trained, like, version of a British Marine, I guess. Like, it's... Oh, the times. I love, you know, I'm a nerd. I love analyzing times and decades through the comics and how what can pass, what can't, what's okay and what's not.
Yeah.
It's a big reflection of us as a culture, clearly.
Big time. It is like, yeah, you can track politics.
Yeah.
Big time.
So, by the way, this film, you could argue, is also time travel. This is what when interdimensional stuff is not always time travel, but when you have someone in another dimension where it's the 1930s and they come to this where it's the 2020s, that's time travel.
Someone mentions it, right? I think Spider-Girl.
Oh, yeah, someone did mention it.
Says something about time travel, well, sort of, and they gloss over it real. Oh, Gwen Stacy, Gwenda, said she was blown into last week, and I don't know if that's just a euphemism of like, you know, I got blown into another universe, so it's kind of weird. But she did say, I got blown into last week. And she says it, I mean, in a movie like this, that's not a line you can just gloss over.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't take it as that, but it could be. But you can argue that the other two, the one from the future with the robot, that's from the future.
Is she?
Yeah, I believe they said that. And then the Nicolas Cage one is from 1933.
What year is Spider-Ham from?
I think it's the same year. It's a real comic. So I never heard of Spider-Man Noir, but I'm sure that exists.
Hey, speaking of which, quick shout out to Brendan again. Thank you so much for the Back to the Future email. And just because he mentioned John Mulaney in his most recent email, he's like, here's a great John Mulaney bit talking about Back to the Future, which I have not listened to as of this moment. Brendan, I apologize.
I have seen that. It is.
I love John Mulaney, and I look forward to listening.
That's great. John Mulaney's thing on Back to the Future is pretty great. Yeah, I concur.
Awesome.
I could do a solid 15 on that.
Oh, that's awesome. It's a movie. If there's an earthquake in Brooklyn, like New York is shutting down, right?
Yeah.
Like earthquake.
Well,
like a volcano could go off in Brooklyn with less fanfare.
Whatever's going on in that room where the device is,
yeah,
it seems like that's mostly contained to the room, although the city gets like overtaken and changed.
But they keep saying, if you listen to the news reports in the background, they keep saying like, oh, and like they don't really say it out. Well, they at one point, I think they say like, oh, did you feel that earthquake last night?
Yeah.
But there's,
it's shaking the whole city, right, from that one building.
They're calling them earthquakes. And that's like a tornado hitting Berkeley.
Yeah. No, there's not a lot of earthquakes in Berkeley. Yeah, you're right. They're pretty nonchalant. Yeah. I like that you're trying to find holes in this. I can't find holes. It's so good. There's very little holes. I think you've mentioned the only two now that I can think of.
Well, the fact that they mention it is good enough, like, because it is, like, it is weird that they're not freaking out more that there's earthquakes, but they're laying the groundwork that there's some shit going on in the city. Like, because, yeah, we know that's not normal.
This is a city that Spider-Man's been a hero of, and all these villains, they're used to, like, buildings being toppled and fights and supervillains. They're used to all kinds of wacky shit.
And listen, he's going to say, you have 24 hours. Can I just tell you how happy I am that I love Jake Johnson so much.
Kills it.
So
good.
He's one of those guys that's just so great, and it's obvious he has a great voice, and it never would have occurred to me before seeing this that he should be doing more animation. Like, you have a beautiful face too, Jake. I'm not saying you have a face for radio, but you have a voice for animation without a doubt, and I hope we get a lot more of you.
Right. They could have went with the Always Sunny in Philadelphia guy. Otherwise.
Have they been in a movie together? They better have.
Oh my God. Mr. Scratchy Voices meets Scratchy Voice.
Just too short.
Or Christian Slater in the film too while you're at it. Yeah, you got to have more people out there. It can't be Will Arnett in every animated film. And Chris Pratt. It can't be the only ones. Chris Pratt and Will Arnett are not the only two.
And Will has just reminded me of Will Arnett and Alec Baldwin in 30 Rock. You guys could have a talking like this contest.
Oh, it's so good. This film is so good.
It's so good.
Definitely up there with top multiverse films. You know, they don't get too much into the science of it. They just show that there's a million different universes where things happen and how just like everything everywhere at all at once, it can border on ridiculous. Some of these universes are black and white.
What is Green Goblin doing at the beginning? He's doing, when he kills Chris Pine Parker, he's doing some kind of a bidding for Doc Ock and Kingpin.
I don't think Doc Ock's not in that first. It's just, he's working for Kingpin.
No, but he's working for them though, right?
For Kingpin, yeah. And he's all super yoked up in a giant, maybe that's the more modern Green Goblin. I don't know. I only know the classic.
He was a monster. That was not a dude in a suit.
No, I know. It was Green Goblin, but I don't know if like what they did to him or what kind of modern day Green Goblin.
My only curiosity is like, they were already like, Spider-Man was trying to shut down. Because at some, when I first watched it, I was like, oh, they're just having a fight just so we can get some action. And then I realized that Green Goblin is already chasing Spider-Man away from the Collider. And then, so they fight blah, blah, blah. They turn on Kingpin and Doc Ock. I can't remember what her not Doc Ock name is. Catherine Hahn. Turn on the collider. And then the reason why the Spider-Men get sucked in, this is another thing I didn't realize until I was just watching it before we started recording. I was rewatching it again. It's because Spider-Man gets shoved, Peter Parker gets shoved into the collider.
Yes. That's why the other ones get summoned. Yeah.
And so that's what sends out the beacon or whatever to somehow suck in more Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Weird.
So it says, why does Green Goblin look different in the Spider-Verse? Because this is based on the Ultimate version in the 1610 universe, which is the home universe of Miles Morales. And the death of Ultimate Peter Parker are partial inspiration. So again, even in the comics, they've got these altered realities in different universes.
Yeah.
They said instead of making him Hulk size, though, they made him King Kong size in this one. Just to make it more menacing.
Well, because fucking Kingpin is the side of a house anyway. So if he's going to have a henchman, it's got... Kingpin is, pardon the pun, comically large.
In the comics, he's also, yeah, pretty comically large, though.
I love that, like, for some reason, they have him getting out of a vehicle a lot. And they always see the vehicle pulling up, and they cut away, and then they cut back, and Kingpin is out of the vehicle. Because they're like, we can't. How do we animate this guy getting out?
This is animated. It's like, you could do this. You could figure it out.
You could, but he would like...
Yeah. When he reserves a table at a restaurant, he needs two seats for himself.
When he sits around the house, he sits around
When he goes on an airplane, it's got to be like a full row. When he shops, he's got to go to like Don's Big and Tall's Big and Tall.
Multiple rows. He's big front and back, too. He's got to get all three seats and the three in front. It's like Hightower in Police Academy. You just rip the front seat out if he's driving because he's sitting in the back.
I've never seen him, but like I've always just seen him as the one who's like pulling the strings and making the calls. I haven't seen him like beat some, like, it seems like he's kind of pretty strong in this and like made of like rock-like material.
Yeah. So he's a jerk and his wife and son run away from him. We see this in a flashback and they get in a car accident and die. And that's why that's his origin story. How is he going to get his wife? What's his plan to summon his wife and son from a different universe?
They walk down in that moment, I think, to bring them back and then, you know, not do that moment is the thought. And then, of course, that ends up repeating.
What moment?
The one where he's like beating up Spider-Man. They see him almost killing Spider-Man and they're like, who are you? And, you know, they don't realize he's such a, they probably think he's a businessman.
Okay.
And they see him as a murderer and then they walk out and then they get in a car accident. So he's trying to bring back a different version where like he can change that.
But how, like if the Spider-Men were summoned because a Spider-Man went into the machine, what was he going to put in the machine to pull his wife out?
Yeah, I don't know if they were like looking for it or if he has to go in. I'm not sure. It ends up happening in the end, right? They sort of.
A second. Yeah. I think it's just because like everything just gets.
Oh, because like they're coming together.
Everything starts to collide as it were.
Man, it's so funny how multiverse is all over the place. When this movie first came out, we weren't over multiversed yet.
Yeah, well, and yeah, and it's like, you know, like that Bodies show. I've been seeing ads for that Bodies show, or not ads, but like, you know, when I turn on Netflix, like, hey, check out Bodies coming soon. Hey, check out Bodies coming. No idea it was time travel. Like 5 years ago, that would have been like front. This is a time travel show. And now it's just like, it's a show.
Now it's like, what isn't?
Yeah. And it's like, oh, there's just a ton of time travel in it. No big deal. It's like, what?
We're like the guys that like Nirvana before they got discovered and then got angry when the world was listening to them.
We're the people that are like, Nirvana's okay, but have you listened to the Pixies? Like, yeah.
I mean, at the same time, we're so excited that there's more time travel films, but then it's like, it's not special. It's just everywhere. Now, multiverse is also everywhere. And it's just like, now it's an easy, like, story plot.
I think, though, like, I think multiverse is going to get, I feel like it's going to get a little bit more repetitive. Somehow, time travel movies have not gotten repetitive. Like, every time someone makes a time travel movie, it's like that device and style of time travel is, like, trademarked.
But they do copy all the time travel films, most of them, and you've seen most of them. Do go into the same tropes, right? If I did an average time travel film, oh, we discover some device and they accidentally or on purpose go back in time. And then, oh, how can we use this to help ourselves? oh, we made it worse. How do we fix it?
Yeah, no, they definitely, the outcome is always the same.
Yeah.
But like the devices are shockingly dissimilar for 100 movies that we've watched.
And some films change it up. I mean, we're not done with multiverse yet. Marvel is like, that's, they're all in a big multiverse thing with wherever they're going with their next story now. So it's around for a while. Lots of multiverse, friends. Get ready for it. they don't go much in the theory of this. Obviously, people not in their timeline glitch out, which that makes sense to me. Like, your molecules were not meant for this world. It seems like...
No, Scott. My atoms are not jazzed about being in a different dimension.
Truer words are never spoken.
That is the fucking... I do want to eat at a TGI Spidey's. Can I do that? Please. The little things, like the burger joint that closed down, like Chris Pine and Jake Johnson's universes are fairly similar, you know, except for Jake Johnson kind of was like, didn't want to get his Gwen, is it MJ? He's with MJ.
Yeah.
Get MJ killed, so he breaks up with her. But like, they, it seems like one of those very like similar but just tiny change universes, which I like when they show that, when there's like,
yeah, things you wouldn't think of.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Back to the Future with Eric Stoltz future.
Oh my God. It was so, what took me out of this universe the most, this whole movie, the whole universe of Spider-Man Into the Multiverse, hearing Saint Elmo's Fire.
Wow, yeah, that was
that was weird.
That was a good choice.
That song is so...
This, I know the next one goes crazier, but this one is, it's just such a good foundation. It's funny, it's heartwarming, it's so good. It's such a journey, such a hero's journey.
I know. I'm nitpicking right now just 'cause. But
you know me, I'm normally the first person to try to tear off the holes of something. I have a hard time. This movie, I just worship it. And the second one was good. It wasn't as good as this one, but this is...
You don't think the second one was as good?
No, not for me. I have some friends who are like, the second film is like the best film ever. And this one has so much more heart, and this one is such a good story.
This is the whole Back to the Future 1 and 2 argument all over again.
Yeah.
This is a better film.
Yeah.
But it's not as fun of a movie.
Oh God, it's a really fun movie.
This one, you think this is more fun than 2?
Do you like Matrix 2 better than Matrix 1?
If they did a lot more time traveling in Matrix 2, I would.
No. Matrix 1 is clearly the better story, but like 2, they're just trying to like, you know, there's some weird shit that happens.
You know me, I like more time travel than less time travel. So I also like more multiverse than less multiverse.
Mm.
So that's why 2 is better. Because
you want quantity over quality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't want wedding cake. I want a 24-pack of Drake's coffee cake.
Well, there it is. That's going to be on your tombstone.
I don't know what my tombstone's going to say, but Scott's going to put a 24-pack of Drake's coffee cake.
I don't want wedding cake. I want 24 Drakes.
Have you ever heard that story? I think it was Larry Bird, like when he, you know, when he retired, you know, like most athletes, you just don't know what the fuck to do with yourself. And so, you know, he went through kind of a rough period. And I'm sorry if I'm speaking, I'm pretty sure this is a true story. I just hope it's about Larry Bird. And he like went through this huge cake eating phase. And he's like, yeah, I would order like a wedding cake every 10 days. I'm like, why a wedding cake? He goes, no one fucks up a wedding cake.
Wow.
Can you imagine? Just
that's a rich man's story.
Just get $1,000 5-tiered cake just to have around your house for snacks
for 10 days. Just have a perfect cake because you're bored and you have money, you don't know what to do. Time to get out of that basketball shape.
Oh, he that got him in the shape of a basketball, all right. Oh,
hey.
Speaking of like setting, you know, like you said, this is such a great movie. Like just little tiny things that if you're not paying attention, it would just blow your mind. Like Catherine Hahn is in the video in class at the beginning of the movie talking about science shit and just kind of setting up that little payoff that we see her later, and she's obviously a genius
and a new Doc Ock.
Catherine Hahn, she's another one. They did such a great job of casting everybody in this. Like,
so many people in this have been in multiple hero movies, right?
Really?
Yeah, let's go through the list. All right. Catherine Hahn is the witch in what's it called? The Scarlet Witch. And now Agatha, she's gonna have her own series.
What?
Yeah. Catherine Hahn is Agatha Harkness. She's in the Scarlet Witch. Now she's gonna have her own series.
God, I don't remember her in Scarlet.
Yeah, she's the witch in the Scarlet Witch, the Vision.
I used to think that I forgot movies because I drank all the time and I just don't remember movies anymore.
Who else do we got in this? We got Haley Steinfeld, who's also now the Hawkeye character.
Yep.
Oscar Isaac, who is the Moon Knight.
Oh no. I thought we had another two-timer, but now we have a crossover. We have Oscar Isaac Time Pop and Oscar Isaac Time Pop After Dark.
Right. Nicolas Cage is also Ghost Rider.
Oh, yeah.
And was also Superman, technically, for a hot second.
He was Superman in the Flash movie.
Mahershala Ali is going to be the new Blade, also in the Marvel Universe.
Wow.
Liv Schreiber is Sabretooth in the Wolverine flicks.
That's right.
I got nothing for John Mulaney, Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin. Oh, she's the Incredible Shrinking Woman. That's a superhero. That's a super move.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do it. But anyway, this film is chock full of a whole lot of stuff.
Invisible Spidey? Is that something you ever came across?
No, but I didn't read this book of the Miles Morales stuff. I was out of comics by then.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Has Spider-Man been rebooted more than any? He's been rebooted more than Superman at this point.
I don't know. There's so many alternate versions. I mean, everyone's been rebooted a lot. Superman's had a lot of weird stuff and different Supermans and Superboys and alternates. When he died, there was these other Supermen, and there's all kinds of weird stuff.
And now it's just crazy.
And there's tons of different Batmans. There's like Batman 2099 or whatever. There's like Dark Knight Batman. There's a lot of weird stuff there. So, but Spider-Man's up there. I mean, that's he's a classic. For me, he's like a top tier superhero. He's one of the best.
Yeah. Why do you think they went? Because so many other superheroes have rebooted and they're just like, oh, we're going to redo Superman. No big deal. When did they decide to do multiverse with Spider-Man? Were you around at all still, or was that even late after you stopped reading?
When comic books started, like, we can just do another story that's not canon and it can be.
Well, not that, but then mix them. But then they're like, okay, we have these three Spider-Men. Why don't we put them in? Why don't we have them meet each other?
Yeah. I don't know when the comics that started. But there was a trend at some point of like future Batman, future Spider-Man, or like this other version. I mean, for me, I think that goes back to the Dark Knight. They did an alternate version of a Batman in the future that wasn't canon. And people like, oh, we could do that.
Oh, you mean we can just draw whatever we want?
Just make a story and it doesn't have to matter. Like, that's just still a revolutionary that like, everyone's so into like, this is their past and this is what happened. It's what they do.
Yeah.
But then you get this feeling now that like nothing means anything. If you could just reboot and there's different universes, like it's not like a strong story in history that that's attached to, you know? And you know, every comics are just going to reboot every 10 years.
No one fucked it up more than Star Wars. Hey, you know, all those books that you've based your lore on for the last 30 years?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. There's a whole series of books that they published that aren't canon.
And it's like at one point it was.
They have comic books. There were Star Wars comic books, right? Those weren't canon.
Oh my God.
Marvel, Star Wars, yeah.
So do you think Star Wars will ever go time travel or multiverse? Like they'll have to eventually. At least they'll have to go into time travel eventually.
I mean, good that they've been able to avoid it. I don't know.
I mean, do you think that's like the safe? It's like, you know what? That's a Star Trek thing. Like the one, I don't know. I just feel like that Star Wars will do what Spider-Man did. Like, they'll just have so many storylines at some point. They're just like, well, we need these two characters to meet each other. And the only way these two characters can meet each other is with time travel or
right.
Multiverse. And then killed too. Like, eventually, hopefully Star Wars will have the balls to kill somebody. And then even after that character's dead, they'll be like, well, we kind of want to do another blah, blah, blah movie. It's like, oh, get your space DeLorean all fired up.
Oh, they kill people. Obi-Wan.
All right, Scott.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to talk like this on our podcast. I know we you know, I've cranked it up to rated R a little bit. You know, I try to keep it PG-13, but, you know, we definitely go up to rated R. But I'm about ready to go. I'm going for the top rope here.
Wow.
My new favorite slur, hard boiled turtle slapper.
Yeah. Yeah. That's You gotta love the old timey talk. It's great when it gets down so much worse than it is.
It does. Like, yeah, I feel like there's a story there where it's like I probably did just say something horrifically racist and I just don't know it. Did that guy, I'm gonna get canceled for saying turtle slapper.
You turtle slapper.
Do you think that was written or do you think that's Nicolas Cage just being like,
I think it was written.
I got this.
I don't think he came up with that.
I do want to see him play an old gangster now, though. I do want to see him in a 1920s like Bonnie and Clyde reboot.
I mean, the new Nicolas Cage now, he's such a character of himself. But it's kind of great. Everything he's doing is right in that wheelhouse.
Did you see the movie where he plays himself? Have you seen that yet?
No, I hear it's great.
Oh, it's so fucking great. Oh, it's just so great.
If you were going to do a multiverse top five film, do you know what those are?
Oh, no. I mean, have I seen more than five multiverse? Name five multiverse movies that I've seen.
Well, you could argue like Endgames and stuff talks about parallel universes. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. The other Spider-Man action one.
Well,
Everything Everywhere All at Once. This.
I guess I'm just thinking of Marvel as one thing, but obviously it's not. So yeah, I mean, Everything Everywhere All at Once is really good just because like that's just all that movie is.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not a Marvel universe that they decided to tie in a knot. It's not old Spider-Man comics that they kind of decided to bring to life. Like, it's just this crazy story. Like I said, I think just off the top of my head, I got to go with, is it No Way Home? The Spider-Man?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The live action. Like, and that's just because just kind of like the Marvel universe, like I've seen all those movies. I know all those characters. So to see everything get, you know, bring back old Doc Ock, you know, the fact that they didn't bring back either the Green Goblin. Oh yeah, they did. Yeah, we'll be doing that one soon.
It really is. And we're, you know, multiverse ties into time travel when they talk about the theories of like every decision makes another branch, and you know, that's how you travel. You can't change your timeline, you go to another branches, but all these branches of every decision is the multiverse, or different timelines, I guess.
I do wish that came up more in multiverse, the fact that you're not really time traveling, but you are. Well, I guess they did in this, because Nicolas Cage is like flabbergasted by future tech.
If another timeline is in a different date, but it's like in aligned with yours, like they're just at a slower, they started later, whatever, it's time travel.
Because I think that's what I think that would make it more interesting if it's the same year, but technologically they're like no, it's 2024 where I come from too, but we haven't developed cell phone technology yet. Like, we're just
yeah, right, totally.
We've been to Mars, but we don't have cell phones. Like, I don't know what the fuck you guys are doing. All kinds of different stuff. Goober. Goober's my new favorite. Like, it's not a MacGuffin anymore. It's definitely a goober. There's no more MacGuffin.
Yeah, I love the self-satire. He's like, there's always a way to stop. There's always, you know, this is how it happens. It's always the world's going to end.
Did you watch, I'm having trouble remembering it now. Oh, yeah, Earth 67. Did you watch the Stinger? So someone goes back to the original, like, I think it's Spider-Man number one. Like, I think, and I can't remember now who goes back there, but someone goes back into Spider-Man number one.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go watch that now.
Oh, and then there's a quote from Stan Lee. The person who helps others simply because it should or must be done and because it is the right thing to do is indeed, without a doubt, a real superhero. Thank you, Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. Meanwhile, in Nuevo York. Okay, so they are setting up the next movie because they, in this scene, real quick, they set up the ability to jump on purpose with the watch, like they do in Across the Multiverse. And some woman and some Venom-like Spider-Man are talking, and she gives him the watch. And then, just like in the show, he goes, okay, one more time, let's tell it from the top. Let's go back to Earth 67. And I'm sure 67 is when Spider-Man was invented.
Oh.
And then, so he goes back to what looks like super old panel drawn animation. And it just says Earth 67. And it looks like super old Spider-Man.
62.
Oh, weird.
That's Oscar Isaac.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's his voice.
Oh, are you listening through my microphone?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. So who does Oscar Isaac say he is? Who's he credited as?
Earth 67 is the home dimension of Peter.
Interesting
person. He is credited as interesting person.
Let's see. And then at some point is visited by Miguel O'Hara, the Spider-Man of another universe set in the future.
Miguel O'Hara. Okay.
It's the world of the Spider-Man animated series from 67 to 70.
Oh, okay. The car. So it. Yep. That makes sense. Now that you say it out loud, it looks more like that than the panel drawn.
Wow.
Yeah, so he jumps in there.
Oh, I did see that a long time ago.
All right, well, we're almost done here. I just want to bring back our classic rotten popcorn bit and read some second opinion.
Oh.
So first of all, I'm going to start with Movie Guide, which I know I've talked about it on at least one of my shows, but Movie Guide is my favorite thing. It is a Christian review site, and God bless you for living that good Christian life. I don't want to, you know, you do you, but I find it hilarious that it's somebody's job to watch these movies extremely closely and note everything that might be non-Christian about it, and make sure it steers people away for all the right or wrong reasons. Where did it go?
Wow.
Miscellaneous immorality. Teenage boy deliberately fails a test to get out of going to a new school, and teenage boy and his father don't see eye to eye on everything, but their love and family bond transcend their differences and brings them together in the end.
Oh, you and I are all geeking out about the world. It's just like, it's a nice story about a father and a son.
It is. It's just, it's all it is. Wow. 97% and 94% audience score. Going to be hard to find a bad review. Oh, here we go. Here's a 2-star.
What?
2-star. I don't understand this film. Many people label this film as a masterpiece, but yeah, story is boring and the villains and characters are boring.
Wow. I don't wonder what they find exciting.
Wow. Can I follow this?
This is a pretty high octane film.
Oh, they gave Asteroid City 1.5 stars, Barbie 2 stars. Oh my God. They did love the Terminator. So, wow. Oppenheimer 1 star. Wow.
From this person?
I think it's this person. Have you seen Asteroid City?
Yeah.
God, it's so fucking great. Friday the 13th, 1.5 stars. Totally Killer, 1.5 stars.
Oh.
We'll be reading this one again next week. Elektra didn't like. Okay, sorry, people. I'm getting way off base here. Liam S. on Rotten Tomatoes says, hee, hee, hee. I'm going to get all these in here. I'm going to read this exactly the way it's written. Hee, 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 hee. Amazing.
Wow.
Pretty cool. Me and my grandpa watched this one and he liked it. So it's got to be even better if my grandpa likes it. Grandpap likes it.
Like we're getting like 7-year-old reviews.
Grandpa gives it the stamp of approval. The best Spider-Man film.
Yeah. A lot of people say that.
Nice plot. This movie gave birth to some funny memes.
That's what's important. If it doesn't have a good meme, don't even waste my time.
I can climb the highest mountains, cross the deepest seas. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba-da, Saint. Oh my gosh. Okay, 1/2 star.
What?
Great aesthetic and styles. Apart from that, to enjoy this movie, you must be willing to believe that only one Spider-Man is better than the rest of the Spider-Men from the multiverse. Do we really have to have that comical effect to put down everyone else just to show how special someone is? What kind of a message is this movie trying to send? First, the hero wanted to go to another universe for his personal interest, so he did. Then the hero wanted to go home for personal interest again, so he did. Well, he got the power after all. Duh, I get it, and I don't need to sit in front of a screen to learn that. I actually fast-forwarded it 4 times, the movie, just to see if there's any chance this movie can change my mind. I wasted my time.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow.
All right. All right. Well, thank you, everyone out there.
You know, the internet gives all these people a voice for their opinions, but I guess, you know, what the hell are you and I doing here? So.
Exactly. How many? But we're not allowed to give any 2 movies the same rating.
Right. I give it a 9.3.
Woo!
That's a bold score from me.
That is. There it is.
And there's no movie I think that I would give a 10 to. You know what I mean? Are you seeing what we gave Everything Everywhere? Didn't we give it, I don't remember, was it a 7.5?
You gave it a, you gave everything 7.2 and I gave it a 7.
I gave everything more than you did?
Well, because like I said, once we got cute and I decided we could never reuse the same rating, you were like, fine, 7.2.
Okay. Well, this is
9.3, says Scott. What do I want to do here? Because I got it. I'm going to give 2 more stars. So I got to leave, you know, I got to leave a little room. Like, this is a great movie, but there's not as much. But then I only gave everything a 7, and there's more universe fuckery in that. So by that rating system, I got to give this like a 5, but that's not right.
That's not right.
That's not right.
I mean, just do how you feel about it. It doesn't have to be.
You know what? No, because the reason I gave everything so low is because of the rewatchability.
Mm.
I will rewatch the fuck.
Yeah, I rewatch this every day.
Out of this movie. So I'm going to give it 8.2.
For rewatchability, this film and Lego Batman have a high rewatchability factor for me. and my kids. Lego Batman, I can watch. I can just watch that on repeat forever.
Really?
Yeah, Lego Batman's so good. I love it.
I saw it in the movie theater and I loved it, but I don't. I should rewatch it again with Cormac.
You should rewatch it.
I mean, I definitely have always liked it.
It's really well done.
We watch Lego Masters religiously.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of Lego Batman's voice in our head. All right, Scott, thank you so much. Thank you, patrons out there. I am, you know, I'm not going to bother with the big long outro because you guys paid hard-earned money for us to just talk about the movie, get in, get out. So I'm not going to try to sell you anything else. Thank you so, so much for being a loyal patron.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to get you so much. Can't wait to just keep doing it. We're just going to keep doing it. You keep patronizing me, I'll keep giving them back.
And we'll figure out about the time-space continuum thing for you also.
Oh, definitely.
With some more time, with more studying and more time and more money, we'll have this whole time travel alternate universe thing figured out by the end of next year, I would think. I mean, maybe that's optimistic, but, you know, we really apply ourselves.
Well, I think, I mean, based on the technology we're working with, I'd say we'll have it figured out by last year.
Yeah. Makes sense. It's already been done.
Until the next world, I'm Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Scott Lifton.
Bye.
Or some version of him.
Bye. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com. Hey, everyone, I just cut all this silence out so you don't know that I'm staring at my TV, hitting the fast forward button. Come on. I can see you.